All right, good morning, church. Wanted to wish you all an awesome Sunday. Thank you for coming today and listening to an old guy, sinner saved by grace, and a small message today. If you can please keep the chatter down for a minute, guys. Thank you so much. It's been awesome that God has allowed us to gather here today to praise and worship Him in America. Amen. We are still offering two books for all of our online folks and folks here today. The first one is by our own Mike Stewart, Things I Have Been Taught from the Bible That Are Not True. We also have from Terrence McLean, Jesus Wasn't Talking to You. And you can email us at info@ohiogracebible.com. Just please give us your first and last name and your mailing address, and we'll make sure that you get two free copies of that so that you have them available. And without further ado, I'd like us to go to the Lord in prayer before we start today. Good and gracious Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to the body of Christ this morning. Lord, I pray that nothing would come across my lips that you don't want your people to hear this morning. I want to thank you for the ability to meet and gather today. And I pray that you would bless this message by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So folks, today I want you to think back to a time that you were bullied. It's a horrible, horrible experience, wasn't it? I can think back in middle school. It's probably one of the most terrifying times of my life. That bullying, there were times I didn't even want to go to school around other people because I didn't know what was going to happen to myself. I was in fear. My situation might have been a little differently than what you experienced with bullying. Mine was actually done by a girl. And it was a lot of bullying. I wouldn't realize until years later that that person actually was doing it out of kindness and love and joy. It wasn't the typical bullying that you may think of, but it terrified me. But when I think about that, I go back to the first day that I believed the gospel of the grace message. I was so excited to be saved that I didn't do anything to earn it or deserve it, that I received it freely. I believed it in my heart that Jesus Christ paid my sin debt on that cross, that He was buried, and that 3 days later He rose again. Amen. And I will never forget, with my zealousness and my excitement of being saved, how I actually went and I was a bully to other people with that message. My zealousness to share that message with those that were lost was very intense. I don't know, maybe you sitting here today or online, maybe you had some of those similar experiences where you got the message, you were fully excited, but you bullied somebody with it. So today, without further ado, I'd like to give the title of today's message. It's called Bullying is Not Evangelism. You see, the information in this book is outstanding. It's the most marvelous book you'll ever read in your entire life. But it's not meant to bash people over the heads about what trivia and facts that we know about right division in the Word of Truth. We are to be knowledgeable about Bible things, because you can't talk with people about the truths of the Bible if you don't first know them, which will allow you to understand gently what other people may have wrong with their biblical knowledge. You see, you can't get someone on your side if you don't know and listen to where they are coming from themselves. We do that by fellowshipping on a Sunday, by Bible studying in our own personal time, or meeting with friends and family of the body of Christ to go have a dinner and a conversation over the Word of God. But that Bible reading is so that we come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is our true motivation behind all of the things that we learn and grow in knowledge and truth? Knowledge from the Bible is not so you can just become puffed up and say, well, I know more than you do, and you're just dumb and stupid, and that's why. This is not the reason. It's not to prove yourself right either. We'll talk about that later. It's not for us to argue with someone. I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you will, this morning to Romans chapter 1, please. Give you a moment to get there. Right after our transitional book, the book of Acts, we go into Romans and we get Romans chapter 1. I want you to take a very close look at verse 29. In verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers. Now, the reason I brought this scripture up, right in between murder and deceit, is the word the debate. This might be the first time that you've noticed this word in here, but I tell you what, the first time that I was studying the Bible, and God highlighted that one in my heart and in my mind, God looks at debating the same way He looks at murder. And He put it there for a reason. His word is not up for debate. As many people may think with conversations that I have to win, this is God's book. And God is victorious. So I want you to remember, when you're thinking of having a debateful conversation with somebody, what does God say about that? He says, don't. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the message today. Our motivation should not be for us to argue with somebody. It also should not be for us to tear down and destroy someone's happiness and joy, even though sometimes the truth does that. But that's not the motivation. The motivation to talk to your family, your friends, or whomever it is in 1 Timothy 2:4. I'd like you to go a little bit to the right here with me this morning. 1 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You see, this is God's will. God's will for you as an ambassador and a messenger and a communicator is that people be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And someone else, they can't be saved without hearing the gospel message. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what we're called to do with the will of God. So if you know the gospel, you need to communicate it properly to them with the motivation and the intent of their being saved. This is our motivation, brothers and sisters. It's not, well, you got this right, or you got this wrong, and you're going to hell. That's not the goal, okay? The goal is that all people be saved. Everyone. That's God's will. We want them to come to that glorious knowledge of the truth. So you know something? Don't hide this book. Don't hide the messages that are inside of this book. Like our flesh always wants to do and say, I know something that you don't. You know, people can go and study their Bible and get all the knowledge and all the wisdom and get puffed up. Or what you're filling up, like we talked a couple of weeks ago, with faith, hope, and love, is that our fill-up is so that we can pour out. Not so that we can lord over anybody. Not so that we can ruin their struggle that they might be in or facing. It's to tell what you know from the Bible so that they can know the truth as well. Now, I know that brings us down from our pedestal, because now two people know what's true, you know? But that's what needs to happen. God wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not to hide it, but to share it. And with that kind of motivation. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, very specifically says to the church that we're to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery of Christ. If you will, I know you're probably heading towards Ephesians, but I actually want you to go to Colossians, but thank you for getting the Bibles open. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, please. A little bit further to our right. Take a moment to let everybody get there, as well as myself. All right. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25 states, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Verse 26, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Verse 27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Amen. You see, we have a unique mission as ambassadors, as His messengers, as His body part, to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. And we all know that many Christians don't know what that is, right? And that's fine. You still may be learning what that is yourself, and that's fine. But we need to be communicating this message daily with the ones that we love and care about. So you first need to know to get knowledge. And secondly, we need to know how to react and respond properly to when somebody fails to rightly divide. That's why we're gathered here as the body of Christ today. Iron sharpening iron with the Word of God to be able to help bring someone in that wonderful place that God would have them to be with the glorious gospel message that He's asked us to deliver. Now, hopefully, as we continue to meet and fellowship, we'll continue to learn more and more about right dividing, because things will become more apparent to you. Conversations, radio, TV, books, sermons, etc., that people really do fail to rightly divide God's Word. That's why we come together on mornings to praise and worship our Lord and Savior, to help each other learn this book, which will help us learn how to deal with life. You know, the Bible, one nice thing to remember about that B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. This is our instruction guide. We need to know it, and we need to know it properly. Hopefully, with continued studying and reading God's Word, this becomes more apparent to you as you start to get more understanding. And knowledge becomes wisdom. Go back, if you will, for one second and remember the first glorious day that the light bulb went off for you And the Bible started coming together. All those big pieces that you wondered why in this portion of the Bible I read one thing, and in the other side of the Bible it says something completely different. Go back to when God gave you that special golden nugget and how excited you were. But maybe you were like me. Maybe you were like me and your initial reaction was you were frustrated. You were angry. You had resentment going on because you were realizing that the pastors and teachers who claimed to be watchers of your soul and accountable for your soul to God Almighty were wrong. You felt lied to for years. You could now see for yourself in God's Word preserved the truth for the very first time. Folks, if anyone wants to sit down and have a conversation about this book with you, take that as an awesome blessing to then share with them the information that God has given you. That's an open door. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But our motivation, how we react and how we respond to people who do not rightly divide the Word, that's what we're going to talk about today. I pray that you'll leave with a little information and not feel puffed up, but have excitement and joy to go share this message with the ones that you love the most. So we're going to go to example here in a minute. We can go to several examples in the Word of God, but this is probably one of the best examples after a lot of prayer and thinking about where would God have me go in His Word to share this message today. It actually came in our transitional book, the book of Acts. So I'd like you to journey over. I'll give you a minute while I talk about the context to go over to Acts chapter 18, please, if you will. And I want to give you a little context as you're floating over there to Acts chapter 18 and tell you what was going on in Acts chapter 17. When you're studying the Word of God, sometimes you need to go back the chapter before, see what's happening. Sometimes it's the entire book before to really get the true context of what folks are talking about. Now, we're not going to do an exhaustive study of chapter 17 and 18, but I want to give you a little something so you know why we're going there. So in Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas were released from prison in Philippi because they were reasoning and persuading the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Now, and that He was their Messiah. That made him frustrated. That made him absolutely irate. But it also, there were some Bereans in there that listened to what they said. They wrote some information down or put it in the back of their memory, and then they went and studied out the scriptures for themselves to see if what was being said was true. And they did, which was very exciting. In fact, it was amazing because they came to the knowledge of the truth. That was Acts chapter 17. Now, 18 is a big law and grace chapter for the body of Christ to understand. You see, they were, after they fled Philippi, they fled over to Athens. And in Athens, then they were off to Corinth. See, they were always on the move. Listen, every single one of us, if we're doing what God has commanded us to do, we will always be on the move with this message of the gospel of the grace of God. We will always be on the move. We will always be on the lookout for our family members that are lost, for our friends that are lost. And guess what? Even that mystery person we meet at the lake and God gives us 4 or 5 hours with. We have to be alert and on point with the gospel message. It's not for us to seal the deal with that message. God and a person do that with themselves. You know, when I first got saved, I always thought, man, I had to go in for the punch and I had to ask them that day, hey, you know, there's heaven and hell. Better make a decision. But I realized later that wasn't the way to evangelize. That really was bullying. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're going to talk about some five strategies for us not to bully this with our family and friends, but to learn how to do it appropriately and learn how somebody can receive this message that we're talking about. So Acts chapter 18, as soon as I get there, as I was talking, talks about grace and law. You see, there were two major gospels going on here. One of the gospels that was going on in the book of Acts was for the Jews only, that would eventually lead them into Daniel's 70th week. But there was one glorious message that was for the Jews and the Gentiles, and is now stretched over 2,000 years for those and us that are a member of the body of Christ that are exempt God's tribulation period and God's wrath. Hallelujah. So Acts chapter 18. Just to give you a little highlight of what's happening there with 17 and the beginning of 18. I want you to go verse 24. Might have to flip the page. I did. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures. Sounds like a pastor or preacher to me. Came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, so he had the Holy Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Now, this is what true discipleship means. If we're going to disciple someone one-on-one, we need to have the truth, and we need to have the understanding of the truth and the gospel message, first and foremost, before anything having to do with right division. Somebody has to be saved. They have to have spiritual discernment enough to be able to look at the words on this preserved Word of God and trust God's Word over men that have been teaching them for however many years of their life. That's what happened here. Nobody was embarrassed. Nobody embarrassed any family members that have been working for the Lord for many years and publicly made a display of them so that they could try to get back on track. They didn't do that. They took them aside and worked with them to expound the way of God more perfectly. That's the kind of motivation that we have to have when we're working with our family members, with the body of Christ in right division. You know, it starts with someone knowing something that the other person doesn't know and helping them with it kindly to have a better understanding. I'm going to tell you an example. Take a minute and breather on the message. Give you an example of a friend that listened a couple weeks ago to the message that I did on filling up spiritually, on faith, hope, and love. I appreciate this friend very much. They mean a lot to my heart, and they are unsaved right now. But her critique was spot on. And I'm so thankful for it, I got to share it. She said, Jim, she said, if I didn't know you, there would be some things in your message a couple weeks ago that would have really perturbed me. I said, okay, let me have them, because that's the only way that a preacher can get better, is to humble themselves and to take criticism. She said, well, what if I'm a lady who loves hunting? And that's what I do to recharge. Remember last couple weeks ago, I had discussed things that men and women might do to recharge and refill up, and what really got them back into that place that God would have them to be. Loving to their family, kind to their kids. And I gave a whole bunch of examples, and one of her big critiques was, when you're discussing the things that are going on in this world, all of the, whether it's political, the Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, any of that, she said, Jim, if the person doesn't know you and doesn't know where your heart is coming from, they might have clicked off on that message and never gotten to the major point, which I think did settle on her heart a little bit, which is always and will always be for me the gospel of the grace of God. Because we can do all the studying on Christ's creation that we want to do, but if it doesn't strengthen us to go and have these tough conversations with our family and our friends that we need to do, a check-in, if you will, on the true gospel message, then we're going to the wrong church. That may sound offensive, and it really shouldn't, though. It's what brought me here today. Iron sharpening iron. Going through the Word and understanding things better so that we can share this message with the people that we love the most. Because guess what? The gospel message that they are preaching is another gospel message. And I'm here to tell you today, you can stand up in a pulpit, you can share the gospel message, but if you're pointing your finger to another church who, oh, well, they baptize and they think it has something to do with salvation, and it's going on in your church today, right now, that you're still doing a water baptism when our baptism is of the Holy Spirit, you're pretty much backing up the church that you just condemned and said, hey, those guys that believe that salvation is necessary, or that baptism is necessary for salvation, and then you went and did it in your own church. After you said, oh, we're just doing this as a sign of something that's changed in our heart or our mind. That's why we water baptize. You've just proven that church that you think that this actually has something to do with your salvation. You might not come out and say it, but God's Word is very specific. God's Word said you're either under law or you are under grace. So if you want to pick and choose in this book how many laws that you want to do and how many you don't want to do, God says if you're under one law, you're under them all. And that is the truth. That's why it changes the gospel message that you're preaching. Whether it's water baptism, tithing, all the things that we discuss and show you with clear scripture that that is not for us as the body of Christ today. If you're doing that in your church, you're wrong. God said you're under grace or you're under the law. You need to pick. So that wonderful critique that I got about a week ago, that's really changed my outlook on ministering to others. Cut that stuff out, guys and gals. Don't go for the mask in the back. Don't talk about that stuff. The most important thing is God's will, which is that all men and women would be saved. So if we have arguments with our family and friends over, should I wear a mask? Should I not wear a mask? Should I take a shot? Well, you're going to look at all these minor things and you're going to miss the most major thing, which is God's wonderful gospel, the grace of God. And you're going to miss it all. And our friends, You know, we're here at a small church in Uniontown, Ohio today because we got moved by the Holy Spirit to get out, to run. We're not here to boast in all the knowledge that we have in God's Word, but if you're preaching another gospel and you're sending others and that are discipling others and spreading that, you're spreading a cancer. You're not spreading the gospel of the grace of God message. So I'd like to go in, before we close up, on five things. We'll call them five steps, if you will. On how to have the right motivation when helping others with rightly dividing. Before I even think about any of these conversations with other brothers and sisters in Christ, I remember what Paul said in the book of Philippians, and I trust it by faith. And this one, if you don't have it highlighted, you might want to go there and do it. It's very important. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Maybe read that again. I didn't hear enough amens and hallelujahs. But he said he would supply all, not some, not most, not all. So if we sang in praise and worship, the God who has given us all this morning with the best of our God-given ability when it comes to singing, then that should be the reason why we sang this morning. Because we know whether I make a decision to do this and it's wrong, or I make a decision to do that and it's wrong, that if we trust God's Word, we can actually trust that all of our needs will be met. That should hopefully help alleviate some of the pain and the frustration and the anxiety that's out there in the world today. Let me repeat it one more time. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Didn't say by Jim Arnold. It didn't say by Steve or Keith Yoke. It said by Jesus Christ. His power, His strength, His Spirit. This humbles me that it's not by my might, not by my power, but by His Spirit that I'm even able to stand up here. Everybody knows, this terrifies me, absolutely terrifies me, to get up in front of people and share the Word of God, because I esteem this book above everything. That's why I get up here and sweat, knowing that I'm a sinner saved by grace, and just even the opportunity to share this is awesome. But we got to remember that Christ is in us. His Holy Spirit is our motivation. And should be all of us gathered here today. It should be that today's faithful reminder that it's about Him. The second step to have the right motivation when helping others with right division, you have to know your audience. You have to know, am I dealing with a saved member of the body of Christ who's struggling, or a lost soul in dire need of the gospel, the grace of God message, in which we should share that message in the most simplest and understanding way so that they can, that we can personally deliver it to them. When we think of the gospel message, think back to the day that you got saved. It should be as easy for you who got saved as the person who is standing in front of you to receive that message. Keep it simple, guys. The third step, and this is the most important. If you got a notepad today, this is the one. I write it as many times as you need it. I believe Ms. Yoke might feel the same way. Listen, listen, listen. If a conversation about God is to be had pleasantly, you must listen to what they think and know to be true in their mind and heart. Active listening for a saved member of the body of Christ is extremely hard, if not sometimes impossible. Why? Because we know what God did for us the moment we simply believed. The free gift that we didn't earn, we didn't do anything to deserve it, minus our sin, that placed Jesus Christ on that cross willingly to make full payment for our sin debt, past, present, and future. And we want them to know it, right? But that, friends, won't do it alone. Most of these folks have been eyewitnesses to our lives and walk, and it hasn't always been that pretty, has it? So, we have to listen intently, not trying to muster up a reply or quick answer to a lifelong misery of events of people letting people down. You're probably not the first Christian encounter that the person or group of people have been around talking about Jesus and salvation. It's just a fact. People have been hurt, destroyed, abused, neglected, and preached at their whole lives. But what most people haven't been around is a good listener. Listen, listen, listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a very specific reason. We need to listen a little more closely. A tip that I'd like to give you today on the third step is, don't offer any advice, knowledge, or wisdom until someone asks for it. I mean it. Listen. Take notes. Write down comments. Ask questions about their thoughts, feelings, or emotions without the intent to solve a lifetime of problems and concerns over one cup of coffee or a sit down with someone. Off to number four. Step four is, if the person's okay with it, when they're done talking, again, this is when they're done talking and you've listened intently, ask them if it's okay to pray with them. If it is, take a moment before speaking to pray. If it's not a good time or they don't want to, that's okay. Don't. Don't. Most people just want to have someone who will truly listen to them. And step five, our final step, only speak and share right division, or anything for that matter pertaining to the Word of God, including the gospel, the grace of God message, if and when that person or group of people give you an open, welcoming door to their heart to discuss such matters. If you will, turn to me to Romans chapter 8. You guys know me, we're going to do some sword flipping. Romans chapter 8. And this is so important. This should be tattooed on the soul of our heart, not our body, but our soul of our heart, to be reminded, especially when we're dealing very gently with another member of the body of Christ who is struggling to understand the knowledge of the truth. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Folks, I think every single one of us sitting here today knows the journey that each one of us personally had to understand right division. And it was a long one for each and every one of us, for our families. And then didn't we have an Abraham Isaac moment for each one of us where we had to make a choice? We had to make a very, very important choice to either listen to God's word or listen to man's word and stay continuing doing what we were doing before. Am I right, church? Every one of us had to rip our families out of a place that we thought people loved us and cared for us and that we were aiming and shooting in the right direction when it came to our personal mission with the gospel of the grace of God message. We've lost friends. We've lost people that we thought cared and loved for us. Many of us got asked to leave. If that grace message is what you believe, take your family and be gone. We can't have the same attitude when we're sharing this wonderful information that's in God's Word for everybody. If we act like that when we're trying to help somebody, we're doing no different than the church that kicked us out. Those members are members of the body of Christ, but we're trying to help them, as the Bible verses in Acts said, to have a more perfect way of God. Understanding what truly is the gospel message. It's not that you came to church every Sunday. It's not that you prayed a special prayer. All those things that people think, and it boils down to, did you actually believe the message alone? That Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose again for your salvation. Not did I get sprinkled as a child. Not did I get dunked as an early teen. None of that. Did you believe the message? Did you believe the gospel of the grace of God message alone? That should be our motivation. With a right heart attitude towards those who do not yet understand 2 Timothy 2:15. And it must always be seasoned with grace. As we continue to fighting the good fight of faith, as our Apostle Paul did, until his death. He did it to his death. I would venture to say the average Christian wouldn't give their life today for the faith. That we have the strength of Christians that have been built up with churches today would not do what Paul did and the other martyrs when it came down to their faith and stood up there and said, all my eggs are in this basket, right here, the basket of grace. They would have weaseled out. They would have blamed somebody else. There's multiple things. Because guess what? We're seeing it today. We're seeing freedoms ripped out from our hands because people aren't standing up. It's a clear indication of if they had to stand up for the Christian faith today, would they be willing to give their life? And I would bet probably not. Which is terrifying because the more I study church history, and let me tell you what, you know, people, be very careful when you do that, church. Be very careful when you study certain people because the good majority of them that wrote elongated, exhaustive books actually ended up towards the end of their life and their walk with the Lord. They were crazy. Many of them. Still, many people from reading their writings and the history that is brought forth today even wonder if they were saved. So as you're fighting that good fight of faith, remember, we're trying to help the religious people come to see what the fellowship of the mystery of Christ really is by teaching the way of God more perfectly and helping the lost to be saved by simply believing by faith alone the gospel message. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. If you've taken nothing else from this message today, I want you to think about this. Don't make a decision until you're ready. But this is our Apostle Paul, the body of Christ. And this is about grace, period. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Amen. That's right, Jack. Amen. Our motivation has to be a motivation of where we're not bullying. If somebody hasn't given us the opportunity to share right division with them yet, we have to have a peace from our mighty God who supplies all our need, not some, not a little. He supplies all our need, and He knows our deepest needs, right? He knows how hard we want to reach that particular family member or that particular friend. He knows our heart, guys, when it comes to these matters. And He should give us all that peace that surpasses understanding when we're dealing with. We're not bullying. Again, the message. Bullying is not evangelism. We have to learn how to season what we say and what we do. Especially in the environment that this world is in right now. We have to do it with more grace than ever before. Let's pray. Good and gracious Father, thank you for the opportunity to share this message today. I pray it was timely. I pray, Lord, that you would utilize it for your glory and your glory alone. I had a lot of convictions about how I've shared in the past, and even down to a couple of weeks ago, how I shared this message, and that frustrated part of me came out, Lord. But you are so much stronger and so much more faithful than I am, Lord. And I thank you so much for that. Lord, I continue to ask that you would give us power and strength and encouragement to continue to learn about your word, to share it rightly divided, and to help others come to the understanding of the truth. And I pray all this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Any questions?
Hey, Jim.
Yes, ma'am.